Hey, everybody, and welcome to another fun, wacky, and wild episode of Sexploitation Sleazecast. I'm your old pal, the Moo Cow, a.k.a. Paul A. Presenza, and I will be joined tonight by my co-hostess with the mostest all the way out from Indiana. Please, everyone, say hello to...
I am Rebecca Reinhardt, the wife of Count Dracula.
I am Elena, the wife of Count Dracula.
Outstanding. And the reason, of course, Ms. Rebecca says that is because we are discussing a movie called The Mad Love Life of a Hot Vampire from way, way back in 1971, directed by one of my absolute favorite directors of all time, Ray Dennis Steckler, although he did it under one of his many, many pseudonyms, Sven Christian. So there you go. So, Miss Rebecca, had you seen and or heard of The Mad Love Life of a Hot Vampire before?
No, not until I got the link from you in Facebook Messenger and then later tried to click on it on my computer, and Facebook said that it goes against community standards to even try to open that link from Facebook, by the way. We are that hardcore. We are that cutting edge kids.
The Zuck is like, no.
Yeah, he's like, oh God, no. Too many pubes and too bad of a plot. No, I'd never heard of it. I went in I will say completely blank because I did see the thumbnail, and this is more of a standard porn, but it is porn from 71. So,
well, and then just a little bit of background. I mean, this, when I was thinking of creating this show, this was definitely one of the movies that I had in mind. This and a number of Ray Dennis Steckler stinkers, because, you know, he made a bunch of standard horror movie stinkers. So why not make a bunch of X-rated stinkers too? You know, right. Because he loves to sort of tell his stories in his own special, bizarre kind of way. And, you know, you can take the horror movie out of the guy. You take the guy out of the horror movie, but you can't take the horror movie out of the guy. This is what he wants to do with his life. And even if he has to do other things, it's just going to be part of him, no matter what you do.
Right. And the horror, it is a horror movie at the beginning and the horror movie at the end. Just in the middle, it's more of a horror movie.
Right. It's a very different kind of horror movie, but it's a horror movie. All right. And the fact that, you know, again, we have discussed how some of our favorite directors, you know, Ed Wood and some other folks, you know, they've had to, for whatever reasons, usually financial reasons, that they've had to sort of go from the movies that they loved doing, which were horror movies, into the movies that they were sort of left to do, which was the beginning of the burgeoning X-rated porn movies industry in the 60s and 70s. So, and the thing about it is, at least in Ray Dennis Steckler's case, he really, really did not want to do this. And in fact, towards the end of his life, he refused to even acknowledge the fact that these movies existed. And I had met him way back in 2009, about 6 months before he passed away. And I had been thinking about whether I should talk to him about this, because of course I had everything else he ever had or else he had ever done. And I was in the process of trying to collect all of the nudie stuff. And he did. He's done, I mean, numbers, nobody really knows exactly what the numbers are because of all his pseudonyms, but he's done at least 20 to 25 and maybe as high as 40. Wow. So
it's the way you talk about a serial killer, you know.
So I was really debating about what to say. And there was an interview that I had seen on YouTube before I came out with I forget which magazine it was, and you know, apparently he did not like being asked about it, and he just kind of like left the interview and he just refused to acknowledge it. So, you know, I didn't want to piss him off or anything. And I kind of sort of began when I was talking with him just to kind of gently lean in that direction. And you could tell he was getting a little uncomfortable with it. So I just backed away. Even though it was funny because I met him at his video store, his former video store, Mascot Video, and he had his porn movies there.
Well, if they can make him another 50 cents, and it's not his, it's Sven Christensen's
movie. Right, among others. And in fact, let me give you a quick rundown on some of his pseudonyms. He also shot under Bill Hunter, Ricardo Malatote, Henry Pierre Duval, Cindy Lou Sutters, Cindy Lou Sutter with just one Sutter, I guess. Sven Christian, which is tonight's director, Sven Holstrom, Michael J. Rogers, R.D. Steckler, Wolfgang Schmidt, Otto, and Desaad, or Desharde, I guess, if you want to get all bougie.
So among basically, he was a multinational, multigender kind of guy when it came down to it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I just think that he really, really tried to put up as many firewalls between the life where he was making his, you know, traditional movies, which of course are anything but traditional, and then these X-rated movies, which I'm pretty sure he had to make in order to A, provide food for his family, and B, get money to make the movies that he wanted to make, because this was put out in 1971. In fact, his first porn movies were put out in 1971, which is the exact same time that he was shooting Blood Shack, which also came out in 1971. So it's not a very great leap to say that he was doing the one to finance the others. And that's one of the things I really wanted to talk to him about, but I just, you know, he didn't really want to.
Yeah, if he's not proud of it, he's not proud of it. Hey, I'm a girl who partially financed her film by doing OnlyFans, so I totally get it.
Well, of course, it's a very different time and age now, and he was very...
Wasn't him. It wasn't him. He wasn't selling himself.
Right, and it was a very different time. He was a very, you know, old school kind of guy, you know, World War II Korea veteran, and... you know, from a fairly conservative family in Pennsylvania. And even though he went through the swinging 60s and everything, I get the feeling that he wasn't too swinging. And then, of course, by the beginning of the 70s, his marriage with Carolyn Brandt, who was in all his movies, even this one, began to go bad, and they ended up divorcing in 1973. Even though she ends up continues to work with him, even into his porn stuff, although she never appears naked or in any of the actual porn. She's usually either a voice narrator, or she plays like a little role like she does here, where she is Elena, Dracula's wife.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's interesting. You know, part of me has always had this fantasy where I managed to cobble together enough money to fly out to Nevada and track down Carolyn Brandt and maybe some of his other kids that are still there, just interview and make a documentary about Ray Dennis Steckler. He's always been one of my favorite directors and just an interesting character, and just maybe get sort of the perspective from them. But, you know, who knows? Maybe they don't want to talk about it either.
Right.
But
we'll talk about it.
Sure. So let's begin by just saying, what did you think of the film?
Okay. So this, and I will inevitably compare it to the other things that we've seen. You know, we've gone from human flaccid dick. we've had beast dick, horse dick, puppet dick. And this one sort of takes us all the way back full circle. I swear, one of the couples, and we will talk about this. At first I was like, oh my God, aren't these the two from fucking Bat Pussy?
There's a little bit of Bat Pussy in there.
Yeah, but we do, for the first time, have like, we have some legit sex that's like actually good.
Right.
So, you know, we've got some bad sex in here too. Don't get me wrong.
Oh yeah.
But it is the first time where it's like, oh, I'm watching a porn, not I'm watching some bad dumb movie where people are fucking.
Right. It is a fascinating mix. And like you say, it's kind of like, you know, a horror movie porn sandwich where the porn is in the middle. That's the sort of large, squishy interior section. And then the two harder, sandwichy, bready parts are the porn parts at the beginning and the end.
Right. And you do get the impression, I mean, this is very standard, especially for this time of like, yeah, kind of the three act porn, where the second act is the bulk of the movie and it's sex. I mean, it's just the way it goes. I mean, you know, kudos to anybody who tries to put a plot point in there.
Right.
And I think that's just, I mean, that's just a hallmark of the times. The plot was not very interesting. And
really?
I could have done without it. And so my organic feelings, I wanted to put on Letterboxd, but alas, this movie is not on Letterboxd.
Oh.
But I did send it to Paul. I said, what I wanted to say was, this is Manos, Hands of Fate, if it were a porn.
Yes.
And the Hunchback needed...
Yes, he had the spirit of Torgo, if not the body of Torgo.
He was super Torgo. If Torgo had even a worse... traumatic brain injury.
Well, I guess we should talk a little bit about the folks who are in there. So there is Dracula, who is played by Jim Parker.
Come forward and indulge in the beautiful things of making love.
Jim Parker was not in very many movies, but he was in one of Ray Dennis Steckler's later films and probably his last legit film, which was The Hollywood Strangler Meets the Skid Row Slasher in 1979. He plays one of the victims there. But he's probably most well known, and by well, I mean at least two other people who know who he is. He was known as the Vegas Vampire because he was on a late night TV, local TV show, where he was the host and he would interview or, you know, introduce movies. And he actually had a novelty song, The Vegas Vampire, that he performed, and it was, I guess, a sort of a minor big deal in Vegas in the 70s. So he...
So local celebrity.
Right, local celebrity, moonlighting as a porn star, sort of, kind of.
Sort of. I mean, he really doesn't... He doesn't have a whole lot of the porn part, you know?
No, but I guess, is he the hot vampire that they're talking about? Because... I don't understand where that comes from, because he's definitely not hot. As a matter of fact, he reminded me so much of Count Floyd from Joe Flaherty's character in, what was that Canadian show in the 80s with John Candy and Eugene Levy?
SCTV?
Yes, SCTV.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like he when he was waking up, like his eyes got really big. Like he was trying to play it. I mean, he and Torgo Hunchback, they definitely were playing it for the comedy.
Oh yeah. Way, 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 way over the top. And you know, as far as the Dracula goes, I mean, he's about as scary as Count Chocula. You know,
and
I mean,
he's about as hot as Count Chocula.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, it's so bad.
Do what is known as your thing.
So that's him. And then there's Elena, who is played by Carolyn Brandt, although she is credited as Jane Bond. And yes, that's another thing, especially because I don't think Carolyn Brandt really necessarily wanted to be associated with the porn movies either. So she always took a pseudonym. And in fact, in a number of Ray Dennis Steckler's other porn films, where he is saying that he is directing under the pseudonym Cindy Lou Sutters, she will say that she is Cindy Lou Sutters, sort of to give you the impression that she's the director when it's, you know, yeah.
So regardless, I like her. I like her character. Like, I mean, so it gave me a very, like, it gave me like that horror host, like 60s, 70s horror host vibe. Like, you know, like she's getting ready to introduce you to like this movie that you're going to watch and snooze through half of just to wait for her segments again. Mm-hmm. I did like her a lot. I would have watched her doing porn, honestly.
Part of the charm and part of the weirdness factor is, I don't know how much experience you have with any Ray Dennis Steckler films, but most of his other films are extremely wholesome. They're very sweet, and they sort of harken back to when kids were, you know, seeing movies in the 40s, and they're just very sweet and childlike and innocent. So for them to come in to do this, it's very jarring. Have you ever seen Rat Finka Boo Boo or Incredibly Strange Creatures? Or
yeah, if I've seen any of his movies, I would know it by him.
Oh yeah, yeah. Trust me, at some point I have to sit you down and watch Rat Finka Boo Boo. It is simply one of the most glorious, wonderful, wackadoodle films of all time. It's one of my absolute favorite films. I love it to bits. And the idea that somebody who made that film is now making porno films with his gloriously gorgeous wife. You should see her in Rat Finka Boo Boo. She just, you know, she would have sent me through puberty if I had seen her when I was 14. Absolutely. Just gorgeous. And then it's so jarring to see them, you know, like that. So I think that might be part of it too, is that in the back of his mind, I'm sure he must be thinking that anybody who'd seen any of his other movies now are seeing him doing porn. It's
right. Like, it's his shame. I get that. I do get that. Like, I mean, especially back then, like, I mean, there was a lot more shame associated with like porn and sex and, you know, the whole shebang. As a puritanical country, we've come about 2 inches further since then, but.
Right. And, you know, it's not like either he or his wife are appearing in them doing anything bad either. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's that horrible double standard that we Americans love so, so very, very much.
Right. We want to watch people fuck, but we want to judge them.
Right. All right. So she is playing Elena, Dracula's wife, but basically she is, you know, the narrator or, you know, expositor. She's pretty much telling you what's going on and why.
With some fantastic eye makeup.
Yes.
Every time she was talking, I was like mesmerized by the glitter that she had, like her glitter eyeliner. She had some really awesome like makeup, and she had just a really good, like her face and her just, I don't know. Like there was something about her that was really mesmerizing.
I dug her. Dying to see this in Blu-ray because I could have sworn those were like rhinestones that somebody glued to her eyelids and eyebrows, you know?
I mean, I have eyeshadow like that, although this is, you know, what, 50 years later. But yeah, you can like finally put where you want it and it makes the little glitter. I don't think it was really rhinestones, but it could be.
Okay. So that's those two, the principal characters. Then we have Hunchback, is what he's called, and that is played by Rock Heinrich. Now, I have searched high, and I have searched low, and I have never seen Rock Heinrich even so much as mentioned in anything else.
Hey, Paul, I'm going to take a big whopping guess. That Rock Heinrich was a stage name.
I should think so. But it's funny because, you know, he was actually pretty good for what he is. This is a guy who never, ever breaks character. And
oh God, no.
You know how it isn't allowed in most porn movies. No matter what character you have, they are in that character until they start having sex, then they have sex, and then they go back to that character. Oh, no.
Oh,
no, no,
God,
no, 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 no. This guy comes in as a spluttering, you know, ridiculous, drooling idiot, and he stays that way even through his sex.
Oh my God, he gets worse when he's getting blown.
As you do.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, he literally is doubled over the girl and going.
It was amazing. Oh my God, I have never.
You know what? He has more talent than one of the dudes who gets I mean, he should have been probably more of the porn guy because the fact he could stay hard and still act and emote. I think he, I don't know anything about these people. And obviously Rock Heinrich probably doesn't want anybody to know about him, but he and Count Dracula seemed very much like stage actors. Like they just had that like larger than life, very big and emoting kind of thing going.
Right.
Make love, love. Love!
But yeah, I mean, that's talent right there.
And very, very over the top. And, you know, this guy was not going to break character no matter what you did. And, you know, you got to applaud him for that. And then he's so funny at the end, you know, when they go to attack Dracula and Dracula's got to run away. And meanwhile, the wife is like, run, Dracula, run! And he's trying to outrun the sun, and of course he doesn't. And all that's left is a cape. And then
he's getting in it like, where'd he go? And he starts
blowing his nose. Poor hunchback is like looking for him, and he picks up the cape and he looks under it, and then he blows his nose into it, and he puts it on his head. And I'm like, oh my god! And then he's like flips off the sun. And he has this horrible mustache that goes halfway around his mouth. It's like, okay, someone's got to connect those dots. So it's just a big,
scary. Okay, I'm sorry, but his mustache is not as bad as Placid Boy's mustache.
Oh,
we will
yeah.
get to that.
That's true. That's true. But bravo, Rock Heinrich. You know, you could have easily.
I dug his character.
You could have easily been just a faceless nobody in this picture, but you stuck out like a sore thumb. You were fabulous. Well done. So. And then there were a number of other people there. And the thing is, I don't know if you noticed, but some of the names sort of change. And I think they're just sort of either incorrectly mentioned or it's just inconsistent or nobody cared. But we had the one guy who at one point is called Dale and then is called Bill. That's the boyfriend.
See, I wonder if it's not like, he was being called by his real name.
It could very well be.
Yeah,
and then
I noticed that.
His girlfriend, the extremely fake blonde Janet Brewster.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Her hair was made of cotton candy.
Good lord, with about 15,000 gallons of hairspray. You know?
Yeah.
That was like a hair helmet. So Bill and Janet are there because Bill's sister initially says Camille, but then he calls her
it's Carmela,
right.
Yeah, Carmela, Carmelita or something, yeah.
Right. So
okay,
she dies.
I was going to rewind to see, but I figured you would have caught it.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the several name issues, but she apparently dies in a car accident, but the body's disappeared. And that's, you know, when Professor Van Helsing, who is what Elena says, although Bill / Dale calls him Van Helsing several times. So again, are you just screwing up the lines or is this on purpose or what's going on?
And Bill Dale is so broken up by his sister's death and her subsequent corpse robbing to just be sitting on the couch in like so much LeMay. Like when he and his girlfriend are like making out and they're both just in this like very, very gold LeMay, I'm like, dude, like there had to have been some kind of like chemical reaction there.
Oh yeah, you could smell the incense and patchouli coming off of that scene. It was just amazing.
Dracula decides to make love, not war.
And then finally we have Professor Van Helsing / Van Helsing, who's this sort of dowdy middle-aged guy with what looks to be a 6-inch nail that somebody painted silvery. And that is his quote-unquote stake that he is
Silver
going to go
stake.
And fight the vampires with. And he's there because of the whole Camille thing and because bodies have been found drained of blood. They're in Arizona, by the way, which is interesting.
Oh, great.
I say interesting because, you know, part of this was shot in Las Vegas and part of this was shot in a place called Pahrumpf, Nevada, which is where Larry Dennis Steckler ended up moving with his family and ended up shooting a lot of his other stuff. So why they couldn't set it there, I don't know. They just decided it was Arizona. Or maybe, again, somebody blew a line, but it's Arizona from here on out. You couldn't really tell.
That is one of my favorite lines, and I'm going to misquote it, but like Van Helsing tells this whole story about he came from Transylvania, blah, 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 blah. And then she goes, so that's why he's here in Arizona? Wow, way to like totally class down what you were trying to do there.
Right. However, it must be said that we're told by both Elena and by Dracula himself why he's there. He is here to make love and not war.
Right, but of course, a vampire is going to go to the sunny desert.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, who wouldn't, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just so funny. So, yeah, he's there and make love, not war. And then, of course, the other thing he says is, you know, at one point, because he's got these three vampire chickypoos, mm-hmm. who are supposed to go out and collect blood for him. And he says, do what is known as your thing.
Yes. And he says it very like specifically, like I almost expected him to do air quotes, like your thing.
I know, it was so peculiar.
The way the vials he gives to the two girls to drain the blood.
Three?
Well, there are three girls, but he gives the two vials to the two girls and then the other one, she kind of does her own thing for a little while. Okay, spoilers. Those are oil and vinegar.
Yes.
Container. I had those as a child. Those are straight out like kitchen oil and vinegar containers.
Or knowing Ray Dennis Steckler, they probably, wherever they went to have lunch that day, they just took them from the restaurant and brought them back.
You know what the salad needs? Some oil and some vinegar. And you get your purse.
And some blood. So funny. But yes, so there are these three chicks, one of which turns out to be Camilla /
Carmelita.
But so she ends up running off and hiding in the bathtub and to get Janet. But the other two, oh boy, they go on a stud hunt. And they get two of them. There's the Weasley guy with the weird mustache, and then there's the other guy that I call Cinderblock guy because you just see a bunch of cinder blocks.
Yes,
in the background.
Spray painted cinder blocks.
Spray painted cinder blocks.
Now, when we get to this part, okay, so we got past, but if we go back a little bit, we got Torgo getting blown while he's staying in character. But this is where we start like a very odd thing. Like, I mean, obviously, like, these girls are all, like, kind of, they're licking on each other and stuff. There's a lot of, like, unfocused licking in this movie.
A lot of oral sex.
I mean, you know, first we have some close-ups of, like, the one girl licking the other girl's nipple. Fine. But then it's, like, a lot of people are, like, just kind of going, like, doing a sweep, like, from thigh to thigh on people. And there's just a lot of weird, just tongue stuff that, like, I think if you were really in a sexual situation, it would be incredibly frustrating. Be like, no, can you focus? I don't want my knee licked.
Right. It felt like, okay, maybe these people had sex before, but I don't think any of them have ever shot a sex movie before. And maybe this is what is supposed to be shown to get, you know, the people off.
And I don't think any of the girls have ever actually been with a woman before either.
That's probably true too. And at this point, I don't think Ray Dennis Steckler knew. At this point, I don't think Ray Dennis Steckler had very much experience shooting this either. This is definitely one of his early pictures.
So what happens a lot during the sex things, and very particularly during the Torgo blowing scene, is the audio is cut off. And music plays. And it is horribly misplaced music.
Oh,
and I said, I felt like Mystery Science Theater 3000 because I was like, when the songs came on, I was like, and we're here in Montreal for the 1962 World's Fair. You know, like, progress is key. You know, like, it's just like, like,
yes.
I mean, it's super like, we're opening Disneyland and we're showing you the behind the scenes kind of thing. Like, I don't get half of the music that was chosen.
It's very, very industrial film strip kind of music.
Like, yes.
You know, like, here is how sausage is made in a 15-minute short that was made in 1960.
Right. Like, I mean, that whole, like, there's, like, one point where, like, he's, like, one of the guys is, like, looking at a girl or whatever, and it's doing that. I'm like, oh, I'm so, like, conflicted. Mm. It was so wrong.
Well, and I'm sure the music was chosen because it was either free and or cheap. But you'll notice this is very, very, very grindhouse. Okay. So this, this movie is shot 16 millimeter. Okay. Oh, yeah. You can see all the grainy, grainy sort of
every pubic grindcore hair.
Stuff. Oh my goodness. One light, one camera, one microphone. That's it.
Yes. And one microphone that. See, I get the impression that the microphone, like the music was probably an afterthought because, I mean, there were whole chunks where I'm guessing, because they didn't always cut out the audio when they went to sex.
Right.
But I'm guessing that like the audio was just so bad, they just had to cut it out and just put music in.
Sure.
Because there are points in time where the audio does work.
See, at least he cared. Unlike, say, Bat Pussy, where they just let everything go and they just didn't give a shit.
Oh my God. I swear to God though. Okay. So the so now we've got the two couples. We've got we've already discussed that. But the one, like there were things that they were saying to each other that I swear were said in Bat Pussy. Like when she's sucking him off at first, he's completely flaccid. Nothing. She's going to town on him and he's just like,
oh, this is mustache guy.
Yeah. And he says, oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I'm like, dude, that guy said that in Bat Pussy. I've never heard that in my life.
Right.
And
right.
I've only heard it twice, and I heard it in Bat Pussy and this movie.
I'm sure you're going to hear it in another movie I give you at some point.
Oh, that's beautiful.
There you go. So, yeah, mustache guy was pretty flaccid. I don't think he really was that interested in being in this film. The other guy, on the other hand, he was pretty into it. The cinderblock guy, he was into it. But his chick, she was kind of weird. Like, at first he has, like, that riding crop thing, and he's kind of sort of lightly sort of tapping on her. And she, like, picks it up and tosses it. And it's just funny. She kept saying things like, you know, oh, you're not going to forget this. You're never going to forget this. As long
they both
as
kept
live.
Saying that, like, you know, like, oh, yeah. Oh, you're really not going to forget this. Like, okay, we get it. You're going to fucking kill them. Okay. You're going to drain them and put their blood in oil and vinegar containers. Get on with it.
And while we might expect that, I, at least initially, when I first saw that, did not expect exactly how that happened. So I'm going to let you talk about exactly how they dispatch their little victims.
Well, after a lot of very frustrating scenarios between the chick with the really cool eyeshadow and the flaccid dude, who I love it too, at one point, she's trying to fuck him. And I swear, this was not scripted. It could not be scripted. She goes, "Could you stop bending?"
She's also the one that like kicks him like three or four times with her foot.
And by the end, she is just wailing, smacking on his ass. She's grabbing like his leg hair just angrily. And I was like, girl, I feel you.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I feel your frustration.
I mean, the washed out colors, you know, everything kind of looks vaguely beige and everything. But guy had a red spot on his ass that you could see. You could, you know, guide airplanes in the middle of the night with it.
I mean, and it wasn't handprints. It was like, I mean, it was just a big circle. She just was all over the place.
She was smacking the shit out of him.
She was a smacker.
I think that's one of the reasons why he was pretty lame, you know,
I don't know, but when he started doing that, like, they did the typical, hey, let's do it from this, like, on the side, you know, because, like, even if he is flaccid and not getting in there, you can't see it. Pretty ingenious, I'm gonna say. But yeah, then the other couple, yes, that guy, he was hard most of the time. that girl was very into it. Oh, yeah. You know, it is the 70s. There was a lot of pubes, like a lot. You could like smell the body odor and the stench of whatever nasty ass motel they were in.
Oh God. Yeah.
So those were kind of gross, but there was a lot. I mean, and I will say too, from a 1971 porn perspective, there was a lot of oral reciprocation that you don't often see in these movies.
Right.
Early on. I mean, the girls are blowing the guys, and that's totally standard. But then the guys are then either at some point actually like eating the girls out like properly, but then they also do the tongue across the thigh thing like the girls were doing in the beginning.
Mm.
Oh my God. I'm just like, are you guys spastic or what? Anyway. I mean,
they at least do pretty much everything, with the exception there's no anal. And then of course there's no money shot because of what happens. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess it's a different kind of money shot. So it's
very different.
So simultaneously, after probably I'd say 30 minutes of, you know, sex going back and forth between the two rooms in very fucking headache inducing camera angles. There's a lot of blur, zoom, like we're going across the walls. And then all of a sudden the girls have fangs.
Plastic that were fangs.
Probably bought at Kmart.
Right.
And they start munching on the guy's dicks. Now, okay, so the girl who's with Cinderblock guy, Striped Bedspread, that was how I was identifying them, Striped Bedspread people. She did all right. Like, hers were okay. That other girl, they were falling out the whole time. And if you ever in the 80s had to be a vampire for Halloween, yeah, I know her pain.
Right.
You know, but they're just cutting into your gums and they're just falling out. And you're trying as hard as you can to keep them in.
She's got flaccid penis and plastic vampire fangs in her mouth at the same time. And she's trying her best. It's just not working.
Now, one thing that I love about her is, and I know I want to say this is acting, but it may not have been, is, okay, so she rides him reverse cowgirl.
Right.
Finally gets him like hard enough, finally, and she's doing her thing. You can tell she's like a performer. She does a few things in it that you can tell she's like, she's done some other movies and she kind of, you know, she kind of turns on the camera charm. But then she, like, at one point looks back at him and she goes, "You still going?" And he's like, "Oh, yeah." And then she looks at the camera and then just she kind of rolls her eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, I want to say it's supposed to be her being in character, but I kind of feel like maybe it wasn't.
Yeah, if you notice, there's a lot of breaking of the fourth wall in this film, and especially by Dracula guy. He just hams it up and, you know, just doesn't seem to care. But yeah, definitely the girls, those two girls clearly, I think, had more experience probably in the adult industry than the other girl, the girl who ends up being the dead Camille,
right.
Whatever she is.
Camille.
I mean, she got naked too in the beginning part, but she's pretty passive, whereas these two are very
active. Just, that's really all she does is she shows her boobs. She doesn't really do a whole lot.
Right.
But yeah, these two girls are like, you know, definitely like the porn girls.
So,
but these guys, here's the thing. So the one guy, he's still, Cinder Block dude, he still has some problems during the time. But for the most part, he does all right. But it's like, you have one job and that's just to stay hard. Like these guys, like, I mean, hey, we're going to give you $50, probably get you a burger, and we're going to let you fuck this chick. Can you at least stay hard? Like, I don't understand why it's so difficult. Like, why it's so, like, yeah. How?
Well, like, it wouldn't have surprised me because remember, this is the long, you know, the days before, you know, medicines, you know, pills and such, and, you know, to help you with that.
I mean, they didn't have money for fluffers, but
since they're rank amateurs, they probably came so off camera, and now they have to, you know, there's still 20 minutes we gotta shoot. You know, so that wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. I did want to toss out there that these two, the two professional girls, one is named Greta Smith. The other is apparently named Kim Kim. I can't, couldn't tell you which is which. And I wish to God that I was able to track down what else that these two have done. But I, again, I was unable to come up with anything.
And again, they may have done, they may have done hundreds of movies, but they were probably in
hard to tell. Yeah.
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 But yeah, so the girls basically start chomping on the guys' dicks. And which is okay. I mean, that's, I mean, you got femoral arteries and shit down there, right?
Eek, eek.
So every guy's gonna, nightmare. You know, if you're going to try to drain somebody, that's a good place. But they linger on it too long. And they show, like, basically flaccid penis, fangs falling out, and lots of ketchup. Like, close up way too many times. With absolutely no wounds, by the way. Like, I mean, they've been like, arr, arr, arr. Like, there should be something missing, you know? And it's just like, oh, wow, there's some more ketchup. So that's that takes you out of it a little bit. And then Cinderblock, dude. They focus on his face way too much. Like, they probably just kept the camera, just kept it rolling. They're like, probably what, 5 minutes? They're like, yeah, keep reacting, yeah, keep reacting. Yeah. And then they're like, man, we just can't cut any of this. He was so good. Like, I mean, he's thrashing.
It was an acting tour de force. He probably used it in his reel to get more porn work somewhere along the line.
Oh my God. With
whatever his porn name is. Yeah. it was pretty funny. I have to point
the
out at this
on that was terrible.
I have to point out at this point that one of the main differences between this movie and, say, Bad Pussy is the fact, of course, I also had one camera, but it never moved. There was never any change in point of view or anything. It just, they just set it up and everybody did their thing and then that was it. You're right.
And you could tell the director was sitting behind the camera.
Right.
And,
in this case, there's, you know, Ray Dennis Steckler's getting stuff moving all over the place. Now, he started off, he learned photography. He was a professional photographer, and he did that in the army, in the Korean War. And one of the hallmarks of his movies is that the cinematography is almost always really good. Now, you can't really necessarily say that about this particular film. However, it was a leaps and bounds better than Bad Pussy.
Right. And when it comes down to it, no pun intended, I mean, yes, the camera, you know, was very stationary, but, and there probably should have been some more cutbacks and, you know, and maybe like give everybody a break, let the dude regenerate, like you said, you know, let's, whatever. We don't just, but you don't know. Like, I mean, they might've been like, we have this hotel for like an hour. And so get to it, kids, you know? But the camera did move a couple times and he did do a lot of like, one of the things I love when Cinderblock dude is getting killed, mm-hmm, is the camera actually does like the stupid stereotypical, it zooms in, out, zit right, in, out right to his face. Oh my God. And there was a lot of like zoom the camera into like somebody's mouth or their eye and make it super blurry and then pull out and it's like the next room or whatever. It was super like artsy, but
I was gonna say almost Hitchcockian. And I bring that up
minus the hitch.
Because back when Ray Dennis Steckler came back from the Korean War and he actually had a legit job. He worked for a couple of the networks and he was a cameraman and he did television work. And then he started to do cinematography and stuff for the actual big studios. And he was in a Alfred Hitchcock film that he was one of the camera guys to, until he almost dropped one of the large frame cameras on top of Alfred Hitchcock, who then fired his ass.
Well, yeah.
So what could have been, he could have had like a real legit career in this business, unfortunately, except for this mishap. And it all completely changed the direction of his career after that. It's a little bit sad when you think about it that way. But on the other hand, he's the little engine who could, because he didn't let that stop him. He just went on about his business and did his own thing and did it his own way, which is why I love people like him and Ed Wood and all these other folks. They're not going to take no for an answer. They're going to make their films, damn it. Right. And they're going to do it their way. So I do like that. It's just, you know, for whatever reason, you know, he just does it in a very odd, strange, and peculiar kind of way. And as I said, this, I think, is one of his earlier porno films. It turns out, I thought this was his first, but there was one other one called Sacrilege, which also came out in 1971, is before that. There was another one called Horny Vampire, which was also 1971.
You really like the vampire route, huh?
Yeah, well, and with a different... That's
horror, and you want to do porn. I mean, that's a very, like... Right. Yeah. It lends itself to it.
So I have Horny Vampire. That's geared a little, it's still a porn, but it's geared a little bit more towards comedy. And it's about Dracula's nephew with a totally different person. It's shorter. It's only like 40 minutes long.
Right. This is only 50 minutes.
But it's shot in 35 millimeter as opposed to 16 millimeter. So something was going on there. I don't really know, but apparently before that is this other movie called Sacrilege, which I had never even heard of before. And I thought I'd known or heard about just about every Ray Dennis Steckler movie there was. So I know nothing about it other than it's now on my top list of what I'm trying to locate.
Go look in X-Hamster, because they tend to have a lot of this stuff.
They have a lot, but there's all kinds of other ones out there too. And if you look at like some of the actual, you know how they have these big sort of... porn databases, Ray Dennis Steckler pops up in a number of them. So like there's one there that showed like a bunch, like showed 23 of his movies. And I know he's got more than that, but you know, Weekend Cowgirls, Teenage Massage Parlor, Teenage Hustler, Teenage Desert, Sexorcist Devil. And I have Sexorcist, by the way, it's a lot of fun. Sex Rink, Red Heat, Pleasure Motel. And this movie was put out by Vinegar Syndrome. It was originally came out in 1994 by Something Weird. That's where I first heard about it and where I first started to realize that, you know, I had heard that Ray Dennis Steckler had made all these other porn movies, but the fact that they existed didn't really hit home until all of a sudden you could get them from Something Weird. And of course it's Something Weird and you could get them that way. But now Vinegar Syndrome put it out with a triple feature. So you got it with Red Heat and Peeping Tom, which is great. So those are three right there. And there's at least 25 more that are out there. But like I said, he's got this whole list of other names that he shot under, and who the heck knows how many that he'd done, because by the time,
because how many of them never came out if he didn't want to talk about it.
Oh, and then you remember too, we haven't even talked about this, but he's the kind of guy who was shooting things constantly. He has a bottomless vault of home movies and things that he would just shoot just random stuff all the time and reuse them over and over and over. And God knows how much stuff that he has somewhere. Somebody's got like this massive vault of stuff that somewhere. I'd love to find out where, but it's going to be this gold mine of footage of different stuff.
In a bunker
stuff.
In Nevada.
I know. I need to go.
We need a Patreon for you.
That would be so awesome. But yeah, it's very, very interesting. And so I'm glad that Vinegar Syndrome put this out. I'm hoping that they'll do the same with a bunch of the other features too. You know, who knows? That would be pretty interesting. There's a whole group of people out there who A, love Ray Dennis Steckler, and B, like myself, are sort of, you know, obsessed over all of these weird, wacky porno movies that he did. There's a lot that are kind of just kind of standard and boring. I think as he got on, he got much better at the production part and became much more, this is shooting a standard porn flick for the 70s and into the early 80s. But he still would have the wacky bits here and there. He just couldn't help himself, you know. He has to his way.
We really haven't talked about the third act of this one, which is, meanwhile, in Manos, the Hands of Fate, we have the whole, the one girl, his sister, which would have been okay. Like, we didn't know, but he has to say, it's my sister, Kermeluded.
Oh, that's right.
Wrong name. He pops out to get Janet while Janet takes a pee. poor girl. And then it's just between Van Helsing or whatever his name is in the bathroom. They have this showdown in the bathroom that is just so ridiculous. And it's like, you know, he's got his little like silver spray painted nail. He's like, I'll stick this to your heart if you don't tell me where Dracula is, blah, blah. And then they go to probably Ray Dennis Steckler's living room or something. And there's the worst like fight scene between the three.
Oh yeah.
Servant girls, Torgo, fight. Count Dracula, all of them. Oh my God. And like, you know, there are a couple of the vampires get staked and there's absolutely no blood, no nothing. I mean, nothing at all. Like there's no, like even doesn't even look like the stake goes anywhere near them.
They don't even put up much of a fight. I mean, they're supposed to be undead vampires with all kinds of superhuman strength. They're dumb.
Paul, but they say no a lot if they try to attack.
even Dracula himself says, spare me, please spare me.
Spare me, yes. And why? Why would they spare you? Oh my gosh. That final battle is so bad. And then Pudgy Van Helsing. So Torgo, so the girls are dead. Torgo and Dracula run out. And Pudgy Van Helsing is like, don't worry, they're not gonna get far because the sun's coming out.
Right, right.
And you know, you got $0 for effects. That's fine, totally. And then it gets to that scene that we were talking about before where there's a lot of the sun, you know. Let's put a spotlight right in his face and shoot it really close to him so it looks like the sun. And then all of a sudden he's just not there.
And I don't know whether you notice, but there's that one connecting scene where they're running across the desert just before they get to that part, and Dracula is just kind of running, and Hunchback, whom I now have to call Torgo. Igor, for whatever reason, he does like a cartwheel and just kind of spins ass over tea kettle. Like, why?
because I think that guy, I really honestly think that guy, but again, I think he's like probably a stage actor. Yeah, he probably got paid in drugs. And I think he was just having fun.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's like not using his real name. And this is early 70s. Like, I'm going to be in a porn and I'm going to be some kind of ridiculous servant creature. And I'm going to do cartwheels in the desert.
So over the top. And I commend him for staying in character, even in that shot. I mean, my goodness, it was so great.
And then, you know, like, I mean, if you ever had a question of like, is he just a bad actor, blah, 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 at the very end, after he does the cape thing, which cracked me up, because he's like, he gets in the cape like he's looking, like, where'd he go? Where is he?
Like a dog.
Yes, exactly. But then when he like, you know, blows his, and he starts flipping off the sky, that's when you know, and he's just got that angry look on his face. That's when you know this dude knows what he's doing. he knows that he's doing some shitty porn that nobody's ever going to see, and he's just having some fun with it. And I respect that.
Right. And then at the last couple minutes, we come all the way back to Elena, and she's talking about how she's going to get revenge on mankind for killing her husband, and she's going to get all the blood to bring him back. I was really, really hoping that was a setup for, you know, Mad Love Life Part 2, you know. But
Mad Love Life of Elena.
Right. That would have been so awesome. But unfortunately, it didn't happen.
You know, most of the time when you see a movie where it says the end ?
Right. Right.
They are thinking, I might make a few bucks and make another one. Let's put ? At the end.
So I don't know who Ray Dennis Steckler shot this or made this for, but I think he left that purposely in there, you know, with the way of saying, see, if this is good, you like it, we got room for another one. And they must have said, no, thank you.
No.
We just wanted a fuck film. We didn't want all this other weird shit.
Right. But it's like the bookends is what makes this movie special.
Sure.
I mean, and that's the only reason we're probably talking about it. I mean, otherwise, you know, you can watch some 70s porn with, you know, pubes and flaccid guys and, you know.
It's a lot more hardcore. I mean, this had hardcore in it, but nothing, you know, I've seen a much, much, much more hardcore.
No, this was,
stuff.
I mean, like, yeah, like there was nothing like weird or anything going on there. I mean, probably the most like eclectic thing was the girl who obviously got into smacking the guy's ass and stuff. I think she may not even have been a porn person. I think she may have been like a dominatrix or something. Like she had a few times, like even when she okay, so he like folds her over. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't tell at first if she was like screaming or whatever. She's making like some weird noises and then she's going like, don't stop, whatever. And I think she kind of has a little more of like that. She gets into kinky stuff in real life.
Yeah, I think she was enjoying that. I really do. But it's just funny to me that, you know, the really weird stuff on this film is the non-porn stuff. It's the non-porn beginning right. and ending that's really the right. weird thing.
It's yeah, I mean, so really, funny. Honestly, the biggest sex part is, the normal sex part is the strike that spreads cinder block. And I mean, it's really like, I mean, you feel like if you just walked in on your roommates having sex, it'd be like that. Like,
I mean,
there was nothing like weird or yeah.
Apart maybe from the giggling Torgo blue job in the beginning. that was pretty weird. Imagine,
I love that.
Imagine for a second you have never seen a porn movie in your life and that's the first one you've seen. How scarred would you be?
Yeah, be like, I'm out of here. I'm taking my popcorn and I'm going.
God forbid I should ever get put in that position. I swear to God, I'm going to do a Torgo. And just to see what's going to happen. I'll never be touched ever again.
Oh my God. Please. Oh my God. I'll blur things out. I want to see this happen in real life.
Oh my God. Yeah. No,
it was ridiculous.
Freak you out. Okay. Well, I guess we've come to the part of the show where we now have to discuss whether this movie is bone worthy or not. And if it is, how many bones do we give it? And if it's not, then we start talking about if it's a Mr. Softy or, you know, Frightened Turtle yeah. or any other kind of things. I'm going to tell you, to me, this is a bone-worthy movie. Probably the most bone-worthy of the ones that we've seen.
Oh, God, yes.
Even though it's also arguably one of the weirdest and poorest made of the ones that we'd seen. It's a very strange dichotomy, but I'm going to give this 2 bones.
So I will say, watching this, okay, so it's 50 minutes, okay? And the first 10 minutes, no, it's about 15 minutes that you get through the weird giggling stuff and the Van Helsing cotton candy hair girl, like that whole setup is about 15 minutes. And then the end is about another 10. So you really have this like 25 minutes in the middle of sex.
Right.
Of like legit sex, right? Because I mean, we have stuff going on before, but it's just like, what the? Okay, and then of that 25 minutes, like at least 5 minutes of it is just really awkward. Like the girls like trying to suck off these dudes who like are just not getting hard. And it's like, I was just like, no, not another baptism, no. But like, I will say when the striped bedspread people, when they did start getting into it, like I was like, huh, all right, yeah, all right, okay. Like, so for like the, I would say 15 minutes of screen time that those two had, plus there was a little bit with the other couple that I just found hilarious that like the girl was getting so pissed at him. That's just entertainment value, but for going bone worthy, the like 15 minutes of the two normal people plastic fang dick biting, that was actually like, this is like good porn. You know, like, I mean, right there, he had, I mean, for his 50 minutes, he had 15 minutes of good porn right there. And especially for 1971, I'm going to go with you. Two bones.
Okay. And yeah. I have to agree. It's a 50 minute film with about 15 minutes of decent porn in there, which, you know, by today's standards, it's maybe a little bit less than you would get, but even compared to the movies we've seen earlier, come on, this is far and away better.
Right. Like, okay, we saw your boobs, we saw you dance, and let's get on with it. Yeah. Like, I mean, this is definitely like,
I mean, that pussy didn't even have 30 seconds of good porn.
Oh, but man, did it have some good lines.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it was a completely different entertainment value there. I mean, this is still a bad film, and it's a bad porn movie. However, by the standards that we have, yeah, two bones so far.
Right.
Dracula is groovy.
That's probably our highest rated movie so far.
Yes, and I will honestly say, I was like watching it, and I was like, I even told somebody, I was like, I'm watching this really bad, like Dracula porn, like 71. I'm getting a little turned on by like a little bit of it. Like, I'm like, yeah, there's some gaggy stuff. like I said, the one guy, Cinderblock dude, is just really, there's a lot of hair. but it's trends, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, no manscaping at all, or womanscaping, frankly,
or womanscaping, and that was a thing. I mean, that was, you know, the whole natural thing.
I mean, at one point, you know, when they're actually, you know, fucking traditional missionary style, you really can't see where he begins and she ends. It's just one big hairball, you know, and it's just like,
but, you know, okay, what? It's gonna come back around. It's starting to, actually. I think people are revolting. But, you know, I mean,
people
it's just
are
a trend.
Revolting. That's
I mean,
sure.
we just happen to live in the world of waxing right now, and waxing and waning pubic hair trends, right? But yeah, like it's the whole I'm gonna admit something. I made a salad when I was watching this.
Oh no.
And I sat down, and it was when Cinderblock dude starts eating out the girl. And like, I was looking at the screen. I'm like, looking at the screen. I'm like, no, one of these has to go. I cannot do these at the same time.
Especially when they've got the little oil and vinegar bottles there.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like, oh, did I use balsamic vinaigrette? Oh. No, there was like, I kept like feeling a little hair in my mouth, and I was like, no.
But, you know, from a triumph perspective, I mean, okay, Bat Pussy was a complete and utter failure in every possible possible. And then, of course, Orgy of the Dead, there was some nice nudity, but you were just beat over the head, like clubbed like a baby seal of so much dancing that no matter what would have happened, you were just going to get, you know, fall asleep. The Beast was
a film. Too it was weird. A film. Like, I mean, you know, it may not have been highbrow, but it was definitely a film. It was not a porn. Let My Puppets Come was a parody.
Was puppets.
It's puppets. Yes. But I mean, this is our first like legit. Well, I mean, Bat Pussy really was our first like trying to be legit porn. This one fits the porn.
It's a mildly successful film. It's still weird as shit and still poorly done, yet it's acceptable as a porn film. It's yes, and I love that description of this being the Manners, the Hands of Fate porn film. I love that. And why has there not been a Manners themed legit porn? My God, how awesome would
there
that
might
be?
Google it.
There, yeah, you've got to think the Alia 54, is that what it is? You know, if somebody's thought about it, it exists somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh my God. When we get off of here, I'm Googling Torgo porn. I guarantee it exists.
That would be so flapping awesome. And if nobody's done that, we got to come up with the money. We got to hire some porn people, and we got to shoot this baby. How awesome would that be?
Friends with Debbie.
Debbie?
Debbie from Manos the Handsome.
Oh, that's right. Girl. That's right. That's right. That'd be a great cameo. My goodness.
Yeah, I'm sure she'd do that. Okay, let's dishonor my father and, you know, whatever.
No, that's okay.
No, but this one was enjoyable on both realms. It was enjoyable in a porn perspective, but also enjoyable in a just dippy horror parody comedy kind of thing.
Right. A lot of fun. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I actually really dug this one, and you know this. I'm really busy right now. I just started a new job. I've got a lot of podcasts, and I didn't know if I'd have time to do this. And I was like, oh gosh. So I started watching this like 10 minutes at a time, and I was like, I gotta do it. Was not gonna let you down. And like after my like second 10 minute segment of watching, I'm like, oh. We're doing this.
Well, you know, you can see why I really, really liked it and why I wanted to share it and how, you know, I really wanted to make sure that we covered this particular film. And the glory of it all is that, like I said, I there's at least five or six other weird Ray Dennis Steckler porns that we can do at some point. I definitely want to do Horny Vampire as well, because that's equally wacky, just in a very different kind of way. But there's other stuff out there. But I'm just amazed at how much weird, bad, terrible vampire porn there was, especially in the 70s and 80s. It was just like a thing. It's like its own sub genre.
Okay. But here's something that I've always said is if you ever ask people, you ask girls especially, like, is there a villain or a bad guy that like you find really hot? The ones they're always going to say are vampires.
There you go.
Vampires have been made into charming creatures. Blah, blah. Now, granted, this Count Dracula was not, and he had very little to do with it. But I mean, the idea of like the vampire, he's charming. He like wants to like suck your blood and blah, blah, blah. And he has like this attraction to you and stuff. I mean, it's easy to take that Dracula vampire thing and make it into something very sexual.
Oh yeah, and just like Elaney says with her wisdom, Dracula is groovy.
Dracula is groovy.
I love that line to bits. Oh my goodness.
I don't understand her relationship with her husband, or. Yeah, I don't understand a whole lot of any of it, but that's okay. I don't have to. It's a porn.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was. All right, Ms. Rebecca, thank you very, very much for joining us. And everybody out in the audience, thank you for joining us. I hope you'll get the chance to see this film. Vinegar Syndrome has it out there, but I'm sure you can also find a very grainy, grindhousey version on whatever your favorite porn internet site is. I'm sure you can dig
and
it up somewhere.
I'm not posting the link because I like being on Facebook.
Someone learned their lesson, did they? Yeah, but yeah, you never know. Maybe I can post it on our webpage. We'll see. I'd like to expand it a little bit. But in any event, thank you very, very much. This has been yet another fun episode of Sexploitation Sleazecast. Please join us again next month when I have found some other weird, crazy, wackadoodle, stinky, bizarre sex film. And hopefully it'll be just as enjoyable as this one was. And we will see you on the flip side. Bye.
Stay sleazy, kids.
Take it sleazy. I like that. All right, guys. Bye.